Thank you. She won't say this, but I can say this. Christina's very good at her job, and very good at that TCK care role. So, yeah, it's great to see her doing those things. So the next bit is, I want to talk about kind of soul care work that I get to do. So I said at the start, so this is a role that I have within Communitas, within our missionary sending organization, where I'm responsible kind of for contributing to the spiritual development of our staff. The soul care work is really about caring for every dimension of well-being and giving our staff tools on how to care for themselves so that they can thrive, both personally and in their ministry. So missionaries are usually pretty good at looking after other people and doing good things for other people, but not always great at looking after themselves. Just giving people and fellow missionaries tools to do that is really important and feels like a privilege to be able to do that. So the main aspect of this work is facilitating retreats. This happens about once a year. Our new staff are required to go on a retreat, and then people who have been on the field for a long time are encouraged to do so as well. Soul care retreats have been beneficial for Christine and I before I started facilitating them. We went on a few, and these are really wonderful chances to pause and rest and kind of assess things in our lives and in our work and ministries that need addressing so that we can be healthy and so that we can thrive and so that our ministries can thrive as well. Soul care work is necessary to maintain sustainable and long-term ministry, particularly for missionaries who live cross-culturally. So getting a chance to facilitate these and offer them to our staff is really a great joy and privilege. We see this practice of retreat in the life of Jesus. Scripture doesn't call it a soul care retreat, but we see examples of Jesus, sometimes on his own, sometimes with his disciples, stealing away from the crowd so that he can have time to commune with God the Father. Mark 6 is an example of this. In chapter 6:31, he says, earlier in the chapter of Mark 6, Jesus sends out the 12 out on mission to do all sorts of good things. And once they come back and report on all the things that they've done, the passage says, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to the disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Jesus knows that ministry takes a toll on people and that these disciples need to care for themselves and rest. And so he invites them to do that. And so a good retreat for our staff is one where people come to a quiet place to rest and where they open themselves up to God and to one another. And a good retreat is where we are met with love and grace and kindness. When we open ourselves up to God, we are met with love and grace and kindness. When we open ourselves to other people, sometimes it doesn't always go well. But on a retreat, part of being on a retreat is that we create the space where that is going to be what happens, where people are met with love and grace and kindness. So our next soul care retreat is coming up. It's going to be in September. This is the first one that's in person for a few years, so I'm really excited about that. You can do a retreat virtually, but it's not as good as doing one in person. So you can be praying as we prepare and finalize the details for that, and that it would just be a really great time of rest and refreshment for our staff. We really want them to walk away feeling encouraged in their walks with God and connected to their other missionary staff. So we have about 8 participants and then myself and another facilitator, so we'll have 10, which is a good size for a small retreat. Following the lead of Christine, I wondered, would anyone be willing to pray right now for that retreat coming up in September? Vern, yeah, thank you.
Just
Amen. Thank you very much. I know we're putting you on the spot, so thank you for doing that. So this soul care work, it's not just doing retreats anymore, and it's not just doing stuff with our staff. It's growing and expanding, which I'm really excited about. You guys had this thing called COVID-19. You guys had that here too, right? I think, yeah, okay. It wasn't just a Scotland thing. So anyway, coming out of the pandemic, people are more aware of the need for soul care work than ever before, I think. I don't know if that's true here, but certainly in Scotland, people are very keenly aware of the fact that we need to care for ourselves and that we need to attend to our souls. And they are very open to the idea that spirituality is a part of that, that well-being involves healthy spirituality. And so because I've been doing this work for a few years within Communitas, I really want to not take advantage, but kind of capitalize on this, that this is a place that or a work that people want to do. And so I did a course earlier in the year at our church called, which a course that I called An Introduction to Soul Care. So I basically took the work I've done on our Communitas retreats, took all the greatest hits from that, and then turned it into a six-week course that I did with our church. And we did, so for 6 weeks, we met together with 12 of us. We had times of prayer together, times where I would share a bit of content about how to care for our souls, times of personal reflection, and then times of group sharing. So all the stuff that we kind of do on a retreat, we did in this course. And it was really one of the most profound experiences that I've been able to be a part of. People said it was a really transforming experience for them. One person said, who's new to our church, said that they now feel at home at Mustard Seed because of the course. Another person said that they haven't been this excited about faith and church in a really long time as they are now of having been on the course. So I'm really thankful for the chance to have been able to do that. And many of the people in the group wanted to keep it going, so we are going to be doing a monthly soul care night where we kind of do a lot of those four different things regularly. So I'm really excited to see where that goes and how God uses that for our church, but also for the community as well, because I really want people who aren't part of the church and people who aren't Christians to come along to that and to be a part of it. So you can be praying that that goes well as well. Another way in which the soul care work is expanding is that there's a local Christian nonprofit that where we know some of the staff, and we've done some volunteering with them before, called Bethany Christian Trust. They do a lot of work with homeless people across Scotland, trying to bring people off the streets and into sustainable housing. So we know some of this, like I said, we know some of the staff there, and one of them has asked me to come and do some kind of soul care work with their staff as well, and with his team. And so I'm going to do the first one of those later in August, once we're back. So I'm really excited for that and to see how the soul care work can grow locally and not just with our Communitas staff. So, yeah, so that is good. So right now, I want to transition and give you a little bit of a taste of what that looks like and what the soul care work is. So we're going to go back to school days. I have a handout, and I'm going to hand it out right now. So. Sorry, this picture. This is our church building. We meet in the afternoons. There's another church that meets in the mornings, but Mustard Seed meets there. And we've been going for about 5 years, started about 5 years ago. And then the next picture is from the Introduction to Soul Care course. That was just our little table that we had in the center one evening. So that's just a little, I know it, it's only two pictures, but that's just a little taste of what it looks like. So there you go. So this next one, okay, so this is an exercise that I have used with people before. And this is what I call a soul check-in. And so this is going to be something that you can do. You can take home this home with you, and hopefully you'll give yourself the gift of an hour sometime in the next week to do this. And if you do, you can tell me how it went for you, because I'd be very interested. So Don, actually, in your prayer, you kind of touched on a lot of these aspects of for praying for the people that you were praying for. So the idea behind this is an image from a professor and counselor, psychologist, who's a friend of ours called Christine Osgood. And she says that these kind of six elements make up who we are and make up our well-being. So there we have our spiritual selves, we have our cognitive selves, our relational selves, our sense of meaning, our vocational selves, our physical selves, and emotional selves. And all of these relate to our soul and relate to our well-being. And when all of these are in good health, then we can experience well-being. A lot of times we focus on one or two of these areas. We might be some of us might be really into caring for our physical health, or we might be more concerned about our relational health. But all of these are interconnected and related. So we really believe that God wants to care for all of these aspects of who we are. God made all of us and declared that we were good. When we seek to care for ourselves and for one another, we want to give every part of ourselves the honor that it deserves as being made by God and being declared good. So I'll give you a couple thoughts about these. So these are all related and interconnected. So when one of them is suffering, there's usually a manifestation of that suffering in another area. So say we have poor physical health, that's probably going to take a strain on us emotionally or mentally. If we have poor relational health, that might affect how we feel about God or how we feel about, or that might affect our emotions as well. So again, they're all connected and related. And when we make progress in one area, we often make good progress in another area. So if you've ever had a hard obstacle mentally at work, and then you get a good night's sleep, or you go for a run, go for a walk, that mental block is taken away. Or when you have a sense of meaning that is stable and healthy, you often find really vibrant and good relationships because of that. So again, all of these are connected to each other and affect our well-being. Yes. Yes, I am. It's coming up. So on the course, the Introduction to Soul Care course, we did an exercise where we kind of took each of these aspects and then had people write description or like characteristics of when these things are in good health and when these things are in bad health. So you probably can work out on the list of which one is the positive ones and which ones are the negative ones. We came up with more descriptions of all of these or more markers of all of these than what's on your list, but I then kind of made this and handed that to them, and we have that for them to use. So I was going to draw attention to Pili Wali. Does anybody want to have a guess as to what Pili Wali means? I think it's under physical, and it's in the not so good list. Does anyone have a wager a guess as to what Pili Wali might mean? It's a very Scottish phrase. Feel like a wallflower? Okay, that's a good guess. I want to hear if there's other guesses as well. So there are prizes for the games. This is your first game. So you can, yeah? Bad skin? Ooh, yeah. Not too far off, yeah? So anyone else? So it means very, like feeling very pale and very kind of sickly and pale. So if someone says you're looking very Pili Wali today, that's not a good sign. And you probably should take a nap or something, drink some water. You can also say this about tea, apparently. So, you know, tea is very important to Scottish people and British people. And they often, it's black tea with milk often. And so if you put a little too much milk in, it's very peely-welly tea, very pale-looking tea. And then, so you want to get it right. You have to, and like, you know, a sign of a true good friend is if they know how you like your tea, and they make it for you without having to ask, then that person is a very good friend. So, yeah, so that's peely-welly. So, yeah, so these are, again, these are just some, again, markers of what when we're doing well in each of these areas, and then markers of when we're not doing so well in each of those areas that the group from the Introduction to Soul Care course came up with. And so what the exercise that we did with that was then, so we did that for, I don't know, 20 minutes, came up with lists, and then I sent them off to say, okay, well, now take this list with you and go off and consider how you are doing in each of these areas. And kind of give themselves a chance to check in with themselves and think, okay, how am I doing physically? How am I doing spiritually, et cetera? And this is an exercise that you can take home with you as well and do it. So Christine and I about once a month try to take separately take a retreat day where we really connect with God. And I think Christine usually does this, and I usually do this on our retreat days where we take this wheel and we check in with ourselves about how we're doing in each of these areas. And the ways that I do that, and so I don't have it written on the sheet, but the way that I do it, I usually, there's kind of three steps to it. And I'm telling you this so that when you give yourself an hour in the next week or two to do this, you'll know what to do. Just so you know, but the first one is to just to check in and kind of identify some words that describe each area. So I'll go through, start with physical, and I'll come up with 3 to 5 words to describe how I'm feeling physically. Usually tired is on the list. And then once I've done that, I'll go in, and the next part, number 2, is then I'll often try and work out what's contributing to how I'm feeling. So why am I feeling tired? It's probably partly to do with my wonderful children and other things as well. And then the last question I ask is then, is there an invitation from God here? Is there something that I need to change? Is there something that God wants me to do in this area to improve this? And then I take that with me and try to make a plan based on that. So that is something that you can do for yourself. So the first one is identify some words that describe each of those aspects of how you are. So how are you doing? Come up with 3 to 5 words for that, and then figure out what's contributing to those things, and then asking, what is God inviting me to do here to make good changes so that I can experience well-being? So that is this exercise that you can take. We can, yeah, so you should, when you get home tonight, you should plan, or today, you should plan a time in the next week or two where you can do that for yourself. And you'll be surprised at what comes up. When we did this exercise the first time, and then another time subsequently, a few people said, like, I just didn't really think there was going to be anything that came up, or I didn't know what I was going to write about or think about. And they were always surprised at what did. So I encourage you to take some time to tend to your own souls this week for that. So.